Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys,
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies
and we tangent.
If you guys hear clang clanging, it's because we have straws today. We're wearing masks, one because everyone has COVID right
Literally, now.
And we're trying to do responsible Thanksgiving this year, and we're having like one person here.
Yeah.
And she is someone who just finished chemo. So
trying not to be as cautious as you absolutely is absolutely necessary.
Yeah. So again, if you hear
clinging. Oh my. You almost lost your straw.
If you hear this.
Mine's on a can.
It's ASMR.
Yeah. And then you'll see us try to mess with our masks.
They're not going to see it.
Mm. That's right. We're not on TV.
In your mind's eye, imagine.
Imagine us shoving our masks into our eyeballs.
The acrobatics we have to do to sip. Because God forbid we don't drink this time.
I can't not. Now it's a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're talking about like more serious stuff this time,
yeah.
I was thinking as I was doing it of the stories I'm going to tell, and I'm like, I'm going to need some alcohol for that.
So, okay, we're talking about shame, guilt, and embarrassment.
Yes.
And
they're all different things. I did not know.
But they like group them together.
Yes.
Maybe you'll tell me why. But yeah. I was starting to read a book, and when I start a book, it takes me 6 months to finish it. And so I read one chapter, and in this chapter...
I'm sorry, but did you see that? I was so quick with it.
Like, I know, it's like really you really... Amazing. I'm going to feel super guilty just because I'm going to be clanging the entire time because mine is like on glass and it's tilted.
It's fine.
I might just remove it and sip it underneath
this
thing. Anyway, but I was reading Jonathan Van Ness's book... Over the Top?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know, but I'm just going with
it. It's something like that, okay?
Who is Jonathan Van Ness?
You don't know who Jonathan Van Ness is?
I think I do, but...
He's the hairstylist from The New Queer Eye.
Yes, okay. I did know, but
he calls himself like a big gay Jesus.
Yes. I wanted to make sure that's who I was picturing in my mind's eye when you were talking about
yes.
it, but I'm like, what if I'm wrong? And then I'm an idiot.
No.
Look,
that's definitely not.
That's embarrassment right there.
He was talking about in his book that he... Oh, it's called, did I say Over the Top?
That's what you said, yes.
Oh, okay, tight. Wow.
Amazing.
I can't remember like 30 seconds ago what I said. But he was talking about this type of therapy that he did that's called family systems therapy, and which is another thing I want to eventually like figure out or dive into or have you tell me about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he was talking about that, and then he was talking about feeling like, you know, he has this persona that people know him as on TV, and people are telling him all the time, like, oh my gosh, I want to be your best friend, and I love you so much. And he is always thinking in the back of his head, like, if you knew every part of me, would you love me?
What the freaking heck? That is exact. Is that not what I've been saying to you about this? That's why sometimes, too, I'll say this right now, people will message me and Jerry, and I message less often back, because in my own mind, I'm like, if I don't sound as cool or as quirky or as funny,
people don't listen
for
me.
Silly. Yeah. Like, but that's what happens in my mind. So I'm like, I can't speak back to them because I'm not in my funny, silly, quirky.
Well, the one time she messaged me and she was like, hey, someone messaged the podcast. If you want to respond to them. And I was like, you do know that they listen to you too.
I couldn't respond.
They also want to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. It's not just me.
I could not accept that.
Honestly, it probably isn't me.
No, it is.
But
well, I think a lot of them know you or come from your page. So that's why I assume, like, they're not here for me. They're here because they know
that's
you.
That's not true.
Well, I know that now because they say such nice things.
Yeah.
But I understand where he's coming from, because it is not that we are, like, tossed into the limelight here, but it's like we have
a tiny, dim little light. It's a night light.
It is. We are a night light right now, but it's a bigger light. I'm definitely reaching more people than I do just sitting on my couch crocheting.
Right.
So, like, when people reach out to me and they're like, oh my God, you're like, I feel like I'm your friend, or they just immediately start talking to me like we are friends, mm-hmm. then I'm instantly like, oh no. They're going to realize that I'm a fake.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome thing.
Yeah, which is crazy, by the way, too, because I'm the most real on this podcast, like, to a fault sometimes. Yeah. When I listen back, I'm like, Sierra.
This is on the internet.
Your mom hears. You're going to need to get a job someday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know where I'm assuming we'll figure out why that happens. But
when I was reading that, I was relating to it a lot and thinking, like, I feel that way. I feel like the parts that people love are the ones that I choose to present to people, almost like a mask.
Yeah.
And then there's more layers behind it. Like, you guys remember when I told you? You guys, I'm just staring at one person, but there's other people listening. Remember when I talked about playing Among Us?
Yes.
And how I was like, oh, it was so fun. And I was like, terrible, but it was funny. Shane just asked me the other... Well, yeah. But Shane asked me the other day, he's like, hey, they want to play again. And I was like...
With me?
I can't play again.
Yeah.
Because I was bad.
Yeah.
And it's cute the first time you're bad.
But, like, if you keep sucking, then you just suck.
The cute wears off.
Yeah.
And now you're annoyed with me and they don't like me anymore. And he's like, what do you mean they don't like you anymore? I'm like, in my mind... They've played with me so often and I've been so terrible that they don't like me anymore.
That's
and
what my
I can't
mind
play.
Does.
And he's like, it's fine. They had a great time with you. And I'm like, you don't understand. I've played with them 3 more times in my mind and it didn't go well. And now I can't ever let them see my care avatar ever again.
By the way, I watched Noah play the other day. Mm-hmm. He does that carrot thing.
Does
he puts the green on top too.
Yeah. It's perfect. Anyway,
it's really good. So go on. I'm sorry.
But anyway, I was just feeling like, I told Shane, I go, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because I'm bad
at
games.
You think. Yeah.
And so I play the dumb card because it's funny if I'm not good and I'm not trying to be good. But
and
when
it's
I actually
to laugh at yourself first.
Yeah. And when I want, but if I actually want to be successful, then I feel stupid if I'm unsuccessful.
Yes.
It's just this like really horrible thing, and it's that's like just one stupid example of a game, but like I feel that way with a lot of things. Like, are you gonna want to talk to me about trauma? Are you gonna want to talk to me about things that are deeply important to me and my faith, and things that make people uncomfortable and are like, do you want to sit with me in the dark, basically?
Right. Yeah, I do.
About to shut these lights off.
Let's get in the dark right now. No, but I know what you mean. I did that with my mom the other day, and I kind of broke down because I was joking about, I don't know if you guys know this. I'm going to let you all in on a little secret, but I'm going back to college for the first time in, like, real college. I've been to, like, two other schools. It's fine. I've changed
my mind.
They're
all real.
Yeah, no, they are. I just mean this is, like, a state college, like, an actual, you know, have to go to, like, I guess I went to class for the first one, but it was more of, like, a hands-on school, like, where I didn't just do strictly classes. I was learning at the same time. Anyways. I've changed my mind like six times. There's embarrassment that's come with that. But also, I'm like, I don't want to hate something for the rest of my life. Right. And I'm a picky person. Like, I want to do something that I love.
You're not just one thing. And so if you have an interest and you explore it, and then you're like, you know what? As much as this is an interest of mine, it's not something I want to do to make money forever. Yeah. So I'm glad I have this knowledge. But no thank you on the job that goes with it.
Yes. So, as I've said before on this podcast, it's a total defense mechanism that I joke about it, but I dropped out of college the first time. And when I say that, I left school with a 0.8 GPA. Yeah. Like, it was bad. And I joke and laugh about it now, but the reason why was because I was in a very terrible point in my life. And, like, you know, I just stopped going, and I was like, we'll just forget that ever happened. I paid off my school loans, and it was like, let's forget about it. Well, now that I tried to go back, I had to do all these things and make an appeal so that I could go back and get financial aid and all that. And I was talking to my mom and making the funny ha-ha. And then I was like, you know what? No, I can't be funny about this because it's not funny. Like, I'm genuinely, the reason why I'm making this a joke is because I'm genuinely embarrassed of who I was when I was younger and the decisions that I made because whatever. And she was like, well, you're not that person anymore. And so you just have to do the right thing this time around.
But the fear is that people won't allow you to be the person you are
exactly.
now.
Exactly. The fear is that I'll just keep getting reminded, like, no, you're not. You're still that person you were 10 years ago. Right. You're going to fail. That's why, thank God for my boyfriend this time, because I've told him that I did fail. And I'm like, you know, I'm just nervous about going back. And he's like, don't be nervous. You're not going to fail. Don't even put that in your mind, because you know you're not. Yeah. You're so smart. You've done it twice now with two different things.
Right.
And passed both. Right. Like, you know you can do it now. Just do it. And I'm like, okay. But it's hard.
It is hard to
not feel that guilt and shame and embarrassment from past
It feels
mistakes.
Like a really big hurdle that you have to, and a barrier that you have to break through, that's like all of your past failures are bricks stacked on top of each other. And you're like staring at it.
Especially when they present obstacles for the future.
Right.
Then it's really like, oh, okay. Because my thing is deflection, or like, just I'm gonna forget about it, like, let's pretend that didn't happen, and then we'll live life making a joke out of it, like it wasn't as serious as everything was. And so now that I'm kind of like facing it head on, which, by the way, I did do that appeal paper and I got it, and it was freaking awesome, and I'm like, oh my god, me, that was the hardest thing I had to do, because in that paper I had to admit that I messed up. And I think instead of making it like, haha, that was funny, it was like, no, I'm so upset at myself that I did that, and I had to admit it. And then, you know, just kind of, that part is the hardest part, admitting that you messed up. But guess what, man? I felt so much better afterwards.
What, admitting that you're human?
Yeah! But it's exactly what it is. But some things like that, I feel like you feel like they stick with you. Like, hey, that's who I was 10 years ago, so that's what people think of me now. And it's like, give yourself room to grow.
Right.
So let's friggin' talk about it.
I'm super fascinated, because I was telling Sierra when I was going down that rabbit hole of thoughts, was like, where we've talked about where, like, how anger is a secondary emotion, and we've talked about those kind of things, but like, and we know that fear comes from trauma.
Yes.
But where the
we talked about fear and anxiety and anger, but not these three.
Yeah, which I feel like really go along with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
very much so.
Sometimes I think they can be more debilitating.
We'll talk about that in the one. I have two articles. The first one is a Psychology Today article that's like the psychology behind embarrassment, shame, and guilt. So this one's just going to talk about
how they define them.
Yeah, and the difference kind of between them. And then the second one is about, I can't remember what it's called. I'll tell you when I get to that one, but it's more about,
you just,
like,
gotta wait.
You just, hold on. If you don't want to listen, then you don't get to know. But that one is more about, like, how you can stop it in children. Because basically the only thing to do now as adults is go to therapy. Like, right. That's it. You can't. Right. But in children, you can learn how to teach them to handle it, because it'll say, like, there's a lot that can, social anxiety, yeah, narcissism, things like eating disorders or sexual disorders, things, yeah, like that, all come from these feelings and, yeah, mistreating these feelings, I guess, yeah, as children.
So it's essentially like, when left to your own device as a child, you can come up with an unhealthy coping mechanism, yeah, which then leads,
absolutely,
to negative
and
things.
And I'm sure alcoholism, drug addiction, yeah, any kind of addiction really, yeah, stems from these as well. Because I know for a lot of people, that's, let's be honest here, that's kind of why I drink for the podcast. Because, yeah, I'm like, I don't want to feel that embarrassment that I, yeah, feel when I'm talking and I stumble over my words, or I feel like I,
right,
am talking too much, or I say something stupid.
Right.
So I just get a little buzz in me.
See, what I'm...
I don't care anymore.
I'm curious to know, like, shame is one I'm curious to know about. Guilt, I want to know, like, where, what the hell's up with guilt.
Yeah.
Embarrassment and shame are two things that I don't experience that often, but if I do experience them, they're in the weirdest, stupidest ways.
Oh, well, I can't wait to talk about this, and I'm very, let's just get it, because I'm excited to tell you.
Can I tell you, I was embarrassed yesterday because I went to get something out of, I went to the grocery store,
mm-hmm,
and Shane called me and he's like, yo, I'm tired. Can you please pick me up an energy drink? And I was like, yeah. And I was already in line. And so I was like, what luck? There's a fridge here.
Yeah.
Let me grab one out of here. And so I went to grab one. And of course, I'm maintaining 6 feet distance, sure, from the lady who is ahead of me in line.
Right.
And at Giant Eagle, you have to go down to the one end to, like, type into the computer, and then you have to come back to the start to put your money in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's down at the other end with where the computer is. I go to get into the fridge. We are distant.
Yeah.
My butt is to her. And then I hear, excuse me. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed.
Oh,
I was,
God,
so embarrassed.
It was like you were a little kid that got caught doing something bad.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were coming back down here.
And like, let me just explain my thought process for a second.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm a nice person. I would never intentionally do this. I wear my mask all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Do you want to share hand sanitizer? Oh my God.
I had, yeah.
But like, I can tell you, I shit in a closet and not care.
That's so true.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's definitely something I feel like
you're going to need to go to therapy
and work on shit there. That sounds like getting caught doing something that you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah.
Which is what, I mean, that's like what I get.
I just don't
about
like upsetting old people, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a thing with authority. I understand. That's, yeah, why, remember, I was at Giant Eagle the other day.
I was ashamed of myself.
I full on stole Pop accidentally.
Did you
tell
did?
You the story?
No.
I had something similar like that happen, except it was the opposite.
Oh my God, I thought of another thing that happened at the store. Sorry,
we're going to have a lot of these stories. Just so you know, it's going to be hard for me to get through these articles. I don't
this
care.
Was the same trip.
Oh my God.
Sorry,
well,
go ahead.
That was a rough day for you. Mm-hmm. So I went to Giant Eagle and I was just getting a few things, but then I had to go to the self-checkout. And I went to the self-checkout that has the belt. It was the only place I, yeah, can go, and I, yeah, don't like to wait in line because I get that fear of like accidentally being too close, yes, to people and just whatever. So I get my stuff on and it's going down and you can't bag it. So it's just all like crumpled, right, onto there. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was trying to bag it and then come up and do more. Well, then a man gets directly behind me. He's an old man in a wheelchair. And
great.
I only say that because his wheelchair is blocking the whole entrance and he gets right up on my cart. So, yeah, like, there's nowhere for me to go. Anyways,
right,
so
number one, I have to steal this Pop.
Hold on. So I start getting anxiety because I start feeling claustrophobic and like trapped.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, he was just staring at me and I felt like I wasn't going fast enough for him. Like I was upsetting him in some way.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing his mask. And I was like, oh, you're one of those people. Already, I feel like I'm disappointing you just by listening to the rules. So I was just getting my stuff out of the cart as quickly as I can. Bag it all up. I did it. My card wouldn't go through. I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And so I'm trying to go. And then as I'm pulling away, I was like, so sorry, bye. And I like get to the door. And as I look down, there's Pop on the bottom of my cart that I did not pull out. And I'm like, oh shit. Well, it was while I was outside. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put my stuff away. I'll go back in. I will literally re-ring this up because I am a pussy and I can't do that. Even though I made it out of the store.
No buzzers went off.
No. It's pouring, by the way. This is important to the story.
Did you go on Sunday?
No, this was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I was going to say, because it was also pouring on Sunday when I went.
I know. It was kind of the same kind of weather, though. So it was cold and dreary and raining and just annoying.
Perfect time for embarrassment and shame.
Well, and then... So,
and guilt.
There's a guy coming for my cart. I don't want to talk to him.
Oh.
And so I'm just trying to put my stuff away as quickly as possible. I go to grab the pop... And it fucking breaks.
The cardboard breaks.
All of my pop cans roll under my car in the rain.
No.
And this man starts jogging to come help me.
Yeah. And I'm like, please stay 6 feet away.
This is stolen pop. He's going to know. So I'm just like on my knees in the mud in my jeans, like pulling this pop out and just shoving it in my car because I'm embarrassed.
Right. You're just handing it out to people who walk by. So you're all, they're your accomplices.
Here, you guys take this. So anyways, the moral of the story is that I put my card away and I left. I never paid for the pop.
Because what's more embarrassing? Being like, I stole this pop, please take it back.
I stole this pop and I broke it. And it's wet now. And most of the cans were dented.
So
do you want it back?
Do you want to be embarrassed or do you want to be guilty for stealing?
So I felt so guilty. I called my mom. I was like, I just stole from Giant Eagle. I'm going to pay twice as much next time. I felt like a piece of crap. I still feel bad about it.
Mine is like not as much of a story.
Yeah.
But in that situation, I was feeling already a lot of embarrassment and mostly shame.
Yeah.
Because I hated the thought that this lady... felt like I was encroaching upon her because she said with her eyes, you punk little millennial.
Yeah, it's you don't
in
care
my
about
space.
Me.
Yes, because she was older.
How typical.
Yes.
Ugh.
So,
if only they knew.
These young kids.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I unload my cart and I have like so much in this cart. And at the beginning, I picked up this ball of mozzarella cheese.
Sure.
Because in my head, I wanted to make this pizza. And it has mozzarella cheese, like fresh mozzarella, and then it has this specific type of meat. Well, I couldn't find the specific type of meat, and then I got distracted, filled my cart up, and then I am unloading, and I find this ball of mozzarella, and I'm like,
shit, I don't need
I don't need this mozzarella. So what do I tell them? I don't need the mozzarella, and I leave it at the thing? Yeah. And now it's someone's responsibility to put away?
And now I'm rude. I'm a rude millennial. I don't care about other people, and I'm rude.
Right.
And entitled.
So now I have mozzarella up in my fridge that I absolutely don't need for any reason at all.
Let's deep fry it. Let's make some cheese sticks.
Oh, hell yeah. We have breadcrumbs.
Let's do that.
Never mind. I'm not embarrassed anymore. But at the moment, I was... I unloaded everything in the cart, and it was like tucked in the back in the corner.
Yep.
And I'm just staring at this ball of mozzarella like...
I hate that.
I don't know what to do.
That's how I felt when I saw that man, except it was the total opposite. I was just like, go as fast as you possibly can. Don't even think about what you're scanning because you can get it. And then I looked down and was like, the pop was on the bottom of the cart. Normally, I would take my time and I would remember everything, but he was pressuring me.
You felt pressure just by his presence.
Yes. I was like, sure, you don't even need to say anything. I'm already afraid. Like, trust me, you're winning right now. Okay. So the first thing it says is embarrassment is often used interchangeably with shame. Although there is some overlap, embarrassment and shame are distinct constructs. So here's the difference. Embarrassment is the feeling of discomfort experienced when some aspect of ourselves is or threatens to be witnessed by or otherwise revealed to others. And we think that this revelation is likely to undermine the image that we seek to project to other people.
Like when my nipples get hard.
Sorry, when your nipples get what?
Hard. I want people to think that I don't have
I'm the opposite. It's
nipples.
When mine are soft that I'm like, I don't always have puffy nipples. Sometimes they're diamonds. They cut rocks.
You want them to be
all
just
the
like...
time. If I'm not wearing a bra and my nipples aren't hard, I feel weird.
You just give them a quick rub before you go in.
All the time.
Giant Eagle.
Yes.
All right, guys. You know what to do.
Don't wear a bra to the store because I'm so scared.
Oh.
But if I would, if I, like all these people that are just out there, no bra, love it, ladies. But like when your nips are soft, how do you do that? Because I would immediately get scared. I don't know. Oh, like, no, puppy nipples.
If I see other people's nipples, mm-hmm. I don't care. But
yeah, me neither.
I don't want to have nipples.
Same. I've never cared about people's not having a bra on.
Yeah.
But when I don't, like, I don't have mine on right now. Can you tell how soft they are?
I haven't looked at all.
You should.
I'm like maintaining heavy eye contact right now.
Especially right now.
But like, yeah, I don't know why I don't want, maybe it's Barbie. Barbie didn't have nipples, and I'm like, well, I don't want nipples then.
Okay, that makes
sense.
And
I don't want my ankles to bend. I want to be on my tiptoes all the time.
Yeah, that was kind of misogynistic.
Right?
Why'd they make us have fucking, that's stupid. And they didn't even have, like, heels all the time. Sometimes they wear tennis shoes up on their fucking feet. Like, I'm dumb.
Like, I'm, what, reaching for something on a tall shelf
a
all
ballerina.
The time? My calves are better be out of this
phenomenal.
World.
Phenomenal. No, but they can't because you're skinny Barbie. Okay, the potential sources of embarrassment include particular thoughts, feelings, or dispositions, like actions or behaviors such as belching or nose picking, or conditions or states such as a bodily blemish or an open fly, or possessions such as our car or our house. And then this is my favorite thing in this whole article. It says, and relations such as our, not even such as your possibly, but such as our oafish partner, criminal uncle, lecherous aunt, or insolent child.
So you can be embarrassed of people who
yes.
are close to you?
As a reflection of you.
I feel that.
Yes.
I feel that.
Same.
Also, this reminded me when you said flies being down.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed when I notice someone else's fly being
me
down.
Me too, and I can't tell them.
Yes,
have you ever had
I
it
can't
when it's...
tell them at all that it's down. I'm like, great, now I know, and I'm sorry that I saw it. I didn't mean to see that your fly was down. You just wanted to have it down
I'm
in peace.
I'm not going to tell you so you can pull it back up, but I also know that it's there.
Yes, why?
Have you ever had somebody who's like sitting, and so they're like pants, are, and it's just full on, it's like this open, and it's just white underwear?
I have been in situations where people are in like dresses or skirts and they're uh-huh. sitting in a certain way.
Yes. And you can full on see up their skirt.
Yes. And I'm like, I can't tell you, but I feel like you want to know, but I'm not allowed to tell you because I'm embarrassed that I saw.
And now that I'm going to be a perv because I totally looked up your skirt. I didn't mean to, but my eyes went down there and I saw your underwear.
Yes.
Same. Yeah. One time, you want to talk about embarrassment, one time I walked out of the bar in a dress and I had tucked my back of my dress into my underwear. So just ass out
yeah.
to the whole bar. It was a thong.
I'm sure they were fine with it.
Everybody, my boss saw it. He told me about it the next day. He was like, yeah, we all saw your ass. This is a nice ass. And I was like, this is sexual harassment for sure.
But, okay.
But thank you.
I also can't tell people, like, even if they tell me, hey, if I have lipstick on my teeth, let me know. I'm like, for sure, I'll tell you. If there's something in my teeth, let me know. For sure. I'm saying
I will not tell you.
Yep.
I won't tell you.
As I see broccoli in your teeth right now, I'm telling you, yeah, 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 for sure, I'll tell you if there's something there. I'm not.
That makes me so embarrassed because I've told you so many times to check my teeth. And you know that's a source of embarrassment for me.
I'm trying to think if I'd never... Do you know how much courage, if I were to tell you, do you know how much courage I would have to build up to tell you that
what,
there's something
you
in your teeth?
Why? Because some people, when they feel embarrassment, it comes off as anger. And then they, like, get mad at you for telling them. And when I'm saying this now, I'm that person.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. If I were to tell you, hey, you have something
I
on your teeth.
I would get pissed. Or I would make you really uncomfortable because I'd be like, oh, my God, don't look at me. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like that. Because my friend Shelby used to make fun of me. She'd be like, if you... She used to do this on purpose, Shelby. If you're listening, what the fuck? She used to be like, hey,
did
guys.
She listen?
No, I doubt
it. Oh, okay.
She used to be like, hey, guys, watch this. Sierra, you have something in your hair. And just to watch me in front of a group of people to see how much I would freak out.
What?
And I'd be like, oh, shit. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I see something in someone's up. Hair, I'll be like, hey, let me get that.
Yeah,
unless
same.
It's like.
I've got a lot of dry skin up here that flakes off.
Well,
if you pull a piece of my scalp off, I'm going to feel embarrassed. So
yeah.
Don't. Just
yeah.
be like, hey, do this. The other day I was scratching my head and I saw my sister looking at my shoulders and I just went, it's snowing. I was so embarrassed.
She was like, whatever, you smell like a Whopper. Stop looking at me.
She does.
I smell like a wall. I told Shane today because we put up these curtains. I found the blackout curtains from Ollie's nursery at our first house, mm-hmm. and I put them up in Forest Room today because we've just had four blankets covering the windows because
amazing.
The blinds weren't dark enough. Anyway, so I put them up, and he cried, so I went in to tend to him.
Yeah.
And it smelled like a woman in there. And my first thought was, there's a ghost.
Of course. It's rational.
That's the first thing.
I understand.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. This smells like a woman, but like doesn't smell like my grandma Jean. What other dead women do I know? And yeah, so I'm like just trying to go through this Rolodex of dead ladies in my head.
Sure, because they're obviously still wearing that perfume in the afterlife.
Right. And then I realize, oh, it's the curtains. Oh. They just smell like our old house.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it's weird
yeah.
that my old house smells different than my new house.
Yeah.
And Shane's like, I wonder what our new house smells like. And I'm like, well, we used to light a lot of candles in the old one, and we don't do shit now, so it probably smells like diapers and whoppers. So baby pee in my armpits. I don't know.
It's really... I don't ever smell that. It smelled really nice when I came in today.
Well, we lit a candle because we were inspired by the blinds or the... freaking curtains.
I love it. It was really nice.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Newly with our audience, because Newly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in, but are like gonna make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time, and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of places may not have options
yeah.
for everyone, and this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Newly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus, the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me. But there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Newly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Newly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Newly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Newly with two U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com, Newly with two U's with code TANGENTS20.
Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is the most important thing to you when it comes to menstrual care?
I would say probably not having to worry about leaking, going about my day, and not worrying about having to run to the bathroom when you feel that,
what's coming out of it.
I think I'd agree.
Yeah.
And that's why we're excited to tell you about Flex.
If you want a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet, you've got to try Flex.
There's the Flex Disc, which is a one-time use menstrual disc that fits perfectly inside your body.
It's not a cup and it's better than a tampon. It's unlike any period product you've ever seen before. One Flex Disc can be worn for up to 12 hours and it holds as much flow as 3 super tampons.
Plus, you can wear it for mess-free period sex.
Yes, my white sheets love that for me.
Flex Discs also create 60% less waste compared to pads and tampons, so they are planet-friendly.
And if you want to go with zero waste and have the planet love you even more, you can pick up the Flex Cup, a reusable menstrual cup that Cosmo rated number one.
The patented pull tab makes Flex the only cup on the market that removes like a tampon. It's so easy, you already know how to use it, and you won't lose it.
Yes, which is very important. It's also disability friendly and made with beginners in mind. So when I say like this is easier to use than tampons, I really truly believe that.
Well, this beginner is grateful for that.
Yes. It's also velvety soft and completely body safe, and it lasts for years.
So say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/tangents and use code tangents for 20% off Flex Disc starter kits.
Or 10% off your first Flex Cup. Plus, you get free U.S. shipping. That's code tangents at flexfits.com/tangents.
Okay, this says, I like this too. It says, sources of embarrassment need not be beneath our projected image. So what that means is, it says, but merely out of keeping with it. So that means that you could be embarrassed by rich parents or by having received a rare education. I know.
Right? Sorry, I rolled my eyes.
Same.
Oh, but my parents are rich. That's embarrassing.
That reminds me very much of Lorelai Gilmore. And I watched that again as like an adult. And I'm like, I kind of hate you. I fucking love the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And when I watch it again, I'm like, Emily just wanted to love like your daughter.
Yeah.
Like, I know there was a problem between them, but I was like, just let her pay for her college or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, poor
you. Do you know how expensive it is?
You have rich parents. Sorry. I can't even get a fucking loan for like $5,000. And she wants to pay for her to go to Yale.
Yeah.
What the freaking hell? All right. Shame. Difference. Whereas embarrassment is a response to something that threatens our projected image but is otherwise morally neutral, shame is a response to something that is morally wrong or reprehensible. Mm. So it's normally accentuated if it's an object. If it's an object is exposed. I don't know what that means.
If an object is exposed, like...
It says if its object is exposed.
So
sorry.
Like my nipples. So that's my nipples.
Maybe.
Something in my teeth is embarrassment.
Yeah, but unlike embarrassment, also attaches to a thought or action that remains undisclosed and undiscoverable to others. So embarrassment can be intense, but shame is a more substantial feeling in that it pertains to our moral character and not merely our social character, if that makes sense. So it's like, let me tell you, this is where I felt shame, that I did something shameful.
Yeah.
So the other day, I took my sister up. Her cat was dying, we thought.
Yeah.
He just has an upper respiratory infection, but we didn't know.
He has COVID.
Pretty much. He wouldn't eat
yeah.
for like 24 hours, so she started to get nervous. We wore masks, but I drove her up and him. Here's a funny story, sorry. Have you ever like went to say something and then you like two things, but you mix them up?
Yes.
She went to say to him, because he was meowing, I love you. She wanted to say like, Mommy loves you, or I love you, Toby, you're my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I love you, Toby, you're my mom. To her cat. And I fucking laughed so hard, I almost wrecked the car. Because it came out so, she was so certain. I love you, Toby, you're my mom.
What if?
And I was like, Toby's our mom. So when the lady came out to get him, because it's COVID, so
we had him, that's our mom.
That's what I said to her. because it's COVID. So they come out to your car and you stay in there. Mm-hmm. And I go, take care of him. He's our mom. Anyways, when she came back out to give him back, like back to us.
To give you your mom back.
To give me your mom. I was joking around. We had been in the car for like an hour. Okay. Yeah. We played Family Feud on my phone. I had been wearing a mask. Like, I was just really tired.
Right.
I was wearing these new pants that I bought.
Yes.
My yoga pants, comfy pants.
Yes.
They come up comfortably to my waist. Mm-hmm. But I told Taylor, I wonder if I didn't have a bra on too. And it was getting hot in the car, so I took my coat off.
Yeah.
Said, I wonder if I could tuck my boobs into
this. Oh, no.
So I did. And I can't. I hear you. So I'm going to show you. I went like this, and then I went, check it out. Just like this. And at that moment, the woman knocked on the door. I have my boobs tucked into my pants. And I'm showing Taylor, and she knocks on the door. And I was like, hey, what's up? And it was the most shameful thing that I felt as an adult. Because I was just like, no, I wasn't tucking my tits into my pants. I'm 30.
I would never.
I would not do that. When this is a serious situation, he's sick. Our mom is very sick. Anyways. I have another story about shame, too.
Please do.
Here's another time. This is my first time feeling shame.
You can remember?
Yes. Vividly, because, oh my God. So I was like 8 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe younger. I didn't know what sex meant, but I knew I had heard it. And I wanted...
That you had heard the act or heard the word?
I heard the word.
Okay. I was like...
I probably had heard it.
You're
but
just
I
just like sitting there hearing sounds and you're like, I think that's sex.
That sounds like sex to me.
I'm not too sure, but I think.
Sounds like making love.
Y'all fucking in there?
So, I don't remember what happened, but it was right when Titanic came out. So maybe we were younger. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the story?
I don't know if I remember the story, but I remember the scene.
So me and Brianne. My mom let me watch Titanic.
Brianne,
first of all.
The Barb. One who... Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I just said your full name, but I'm sure she won't care. Because she did nothing wrong. I think it was me, her, and Abby.
Okay.
And we were up on... It was at recess. We were up on the slide.
Okay.
Brianne had a piece of paper, and she's like, let's all write something about Titanic that we loved, because we all watched it, and our moms should not have let us. I think all of us watched it, like, on TV.
Where the fuck was I?
I don't know. I think might have been when we were in groups that were fighting.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just us three up there.
Yeah.
And...
I was getting married under the slide.
Probably.
Okay.
And then Abby wrote something like really big waves. And then Brianne wrote, I love boats. And then me, being someone who needed attention at the time, wrote, I had a dream that I had sex with Leonardo DiCaprio.
What?
I can't believe I never told you this.
How did you... I'm just imagining the spelling of an 8-year-old.
I think I spelled it all right. I'm more impressed that I spelled Leonardo DiCaprio's whole name.
That's what I was more concerned with.
But I wrote it, and everybody was like, hee, 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 oh my God, you're so bad. I was like, yeah, that's right, girls. I'm a badass. Well, there was another girl that we used to hang out with. She was a little bit more of a goody-goody. She was listening. She ran and told a teacher.
Oh,
and
no.
I didn't know. And we're all just sitting there like, ha ha, what do you think this is? Or whatever. And then I look up, and one of the aides is standing right behind us. She's like, what you writing, girls? And I ran. I did not look back. I started running across the... the basketball courts to the swings on the other side, and I hid behind a bush until the bell rang, and I didn't go inside, and she had to come find me. And she was like, what's up? You're in so much trouble. We have to call your mom. And I was like, yeah, sounds about right. And
what? I don't remember this at all.
I didn't tell anybody. I made Brianne and Abby swear. I guarantee to this day they don't remember it because I literally was like, don't you ever fucking tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
We had to go. I felt so bad because they were not snitches. And so nobody owned up, even though everybody knew it was me.
Yeah.
They wouldn't own up to who wrote that part.
Damn, they're real ones.
They really were. So we all had to sit in the office and write on a page, I will not write whatever, like 100 times.
We will not talk about sex.
Basically. And I was like so embarrassed because I kept having to write this word over and over again that I wrote before. Yep. And I didn't know what it meant. But at that S-E-X. Point, I was like, oh, this is not just mean kissing.
Yeah.
This is something graphic that I don't know about.
Right.
And so then they told my mom and my mom freaked out on me. And I was, sorry, mom. Sorry, I told this story. And she's probably like, Sarah.
How did you know about that it was called sex?
I think because my mom used to watch Friends a lot. And so, like, I knew I had heard the word because they
said
it.
My mom used to bake cookies every Thursday and watch Friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, we would watch Baywatch and Friends, and they would never, like, talk about what the act was, but they would say the word sex. And I was like, what is that? And then I think one time my mom said, like, kissing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ah, they just kissing. Well, I would love to sex Leonardo DiCaprio. And I didn't know that it was not just kissing.
But in that case, I stand by what I wrote.
I still fuck. What's up? 8:29. I'd still do it.
So anyway, I thought you were giving a date. And I was like, damn, manifest that shit. You got like almost a year.
I really will. COVID's going to be hopefully gone by then. No. Yeah. But maybe we can touch other people. No?
Maybe in next don't August? Ever.
Don't ever touch other people?
Never. Yeah.
That's really sad.
I just had to be like, is that August? What you just did?
Do you is know it? What's something? No, I'm it's not. Super... Yes, it is.
It is. You know what's something I'm super... It is embarrassed. It's not shame. To this day, I did singing lessons.
Yes, for me.
No.
Also on the playground.
I did that. Yeah. I was so obnoxious. I was so obnoxious. I know. Okay. Adult Jerry is embarrassed how child Jerry was, like, how confident child
Jerry
was. You were
so confident.
So I took singing lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And for one of my recitals, I had to perform at a nursing home. And I used to get horrible anxiety when I was singing, and I was holding out this note, and all of a sudden, my mouth filled up with saliva.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, I'm either going to throw up, or I don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, mid-note,
oh no,
my throat just like swallowed, and so I was like, ah. And then... afterwards, everyone...
Did you hate it when it involuntarily does it?
Yes, it
for
involuntarily,
you?
Like, emptied the drain, essentially. And people were coming up to me afterwards, and they were like, you did such a nice job, honey. Thank you so much for coming here.
Okay, no, I fucking didn't.
Okay, yes. But I ended up teaching and then taking my students to work there at that specific one. And I learned that where I sang at was the dementia. So
they don't remember.
They don't remember or care at all. They probably were like unaware of
that you were even there.
Yes. And so now I've spent my whole life embarrassed that these people heard me like involuntarily swallow a note, and they don't know what's happening at all.
Do you know what I think about now that you said that? Now that I know people who are teachers and who have been teachers. Mm-hmm. How many fucking people did that teacher who caught what I said fucking tell about that story?
Everyone.
I guarantee it.
Everyone. She probably made a photocopy of the notes and kept it in a folder.
Oh my God, I bet she did.
I had one of a student who wrote her her favorite drink was poop.
Oh, what?
She meant pop. Oh. But she spelled it with two O's.
Okay, that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Oh no.
I like to drink poop is what she wrote, and I was like, okay.
Awesome. Oh, that's so funny. By the way, I just need you to know, because we're talking about silly things like that, my mom got a new phone number for work. I won't give you the whole thing, but I just need you to know that the last four numbers are 6969. I was like, I can't. How are you serious when you tell people? You're like, here's my business card.
Yeah.
Call me on my number, 6969.
678-999-8212.
Okay. So, shame arises from measuring our actions against moral standards and discovering that they fall short. If our actions fall short and we fail to notice, we can be shamed or made to notice. if having been made to notice, we do not mind, we can be said to be shameless or to have no shame, which is where that comes from with the fucking, you know.
I feel like I'm shameless a bit.
Frank Gallagher. Well, I have to tell you something. People that are shameless a little bit are a touch narcissistic.
I've been told that I'm a touch narcissistic. Yeah. So
I don't think that about you, but that's what it
I
says
will
here.
Say. Okay, here's an actual serious thing that happened. I've been struggling a bit with two children.
For sure.
And when I am in a situation where I am like tied up, my focus has to be with Forrest.
Yes.
Ollie wants my attention and does things to get my attention in a way that is undesirable.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, borderline dangerous.
Right.
So, and there are also times where like he gets a hold of like equipment or gear that is like, and not like any of my serious stuff, but like picked up a battery from my camera and threw it. And I have snapped to the point where I have used a tone that I'm not proud of. Mm-hmm. And I have like held him and yelled into his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm ashamed of.
Yeah.
And I have been like trying to joke and come up with funny stories of things I'm embarrassed of and ashamed of. But
no, it's
nothing
like
is
that.
Real.
Yes.
But that is something that I lie awake thinking like, I can never take that back.
Yeah.
Because, I can never change that.
Well, I think to you, it says our own moral high grounds, but to you, you hold parenting as a very high, like on your priorities of things to be A+ at.
Right.
And we're all going to make mistakes as parents. That is just going to happen.
Right.
But I think that's why you feel that so strongly. Oh my God, my inner circle. Like, you did not ask me to like come up with a reason, but I'm like, let me just tell you why I think that is.
No, but
obnoxious.
Like, but sometimes when you explain things to me and you like word them in the jargon, I'm like, I have to do mental gymnastics to try and have them make sense in my mind. But realizing that like shame is something with the whole moral high ground, that is something where I'm like, my personal self.
Yeah.
It's very hard to shame or embarrass me as a person.
Because I think to you, that's not high up here.
Yeah. I don't care that
much.
Yeah. I truly don't. Now, I will say there are times when, like, if we are, like, when we did the podcast with the guys and I thought that Shane was sounding drunk.
Yeah.
I got embarrassed.
Yes.
Is that shame?
Mm-mm.
It's embarrassed?
Yes.
I was embarrassed because I was like, I don't want people to think differently of him.
That he just is like,
right. And I don't
drunk
want
all
this.
The time.
Yeah. And I don't, well, not even that he's drunk all the time, but like that he just sounds a certain way.
Yeah, when
I listened back to it, he didn't. He didn't at all. It was just, I was fearful of that.
Well, and we could also see.
Yes. Yes.
It looked different than it sounded.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially because you know him and you know how he looks and sounds all the time.
Right.
Like to other people, when I listened back, I was like, oh, and even in the moment, even though I could see.
Yeah.
See,
I know that he doesn't talk that much that quickly and he doesn't go on that long.
Yeah.
And so, unless he drinks.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
so you're like, this is telltale sales. These are telltale signs to me.
Yes.
So I know, and other people are going to, No, nobody, I don't think anybody would know. That's how I feel about Corey, though, sometimes. Love you so much, but.
I have to remind myself of that now.
Yeah.
But separately, the whole like yelling thing was something that I was like, I am ashamed of this.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many things that I do.
Especially because on here, I talk about having so much
patience and
I feel like a liar now.
Well, that's the other thing I think I was going to say that too. When we put on, like, not put on, but try to like talk up certain things, which I think is not a bad thing to do because we're all human beings. So even if we talk like, hey, this is what you should do as a parent, this is what I'm trying to do, right, you're going to slip and fall from that. But I think then when you say it, you feel like a liar. Right. Same with like the we talk so highly about masks and social distancing. So like when you go out in public and you accidentally don't social distance one time or something like that, you know what I mean? You're like, oh my God, I'm a fake. I'm a fraud. I'm a liar. And yeah, that's what,
when I don't meet the standards that I set for myself.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Aristotle points out that shame also arises from lacking in honorable things shared by others like us. So that might be, again, the parenting thing with you, because you say you watch so many of those, like...
Yeah.
You have to remember that those parents have done the same thing. Even though they don't act like they have, they absolutely have.
Yeah.
You just don't ever see that. They're not going to post that.
Yeah, and the people that I follow and things and who I use as like resources have shared like, yeah, I've lost my temper. Mm-hmm. I'm human. It's important to have a conversation after the fact explaining it. And I have. Right. And like I do that as well, but it's something that like I think I mentioned this before. I don't want it to be something that happens often. Yes. And he thinks, oh, well, you know, someone can treat me in this way. And as long as they apologize, then it's fine.
Yes.
So I developed a slick new move.
Oh, what do you do?
First I started involuntarily humming, and that scared him. He thought, like,
honestly, somebody just humming for no reason is fucking terrifying.
I started losing it, and I was like, He wanted a spoon, and I was like, and then I like handed it to him, and he was like, I don't think I want this spoon anymore. And so now, instead, I just start involuntarily. Well, is it involuntarily or spontaneously?
There you go.
I start spontaneously doing yoga.
Okay.
So I drop to the ground into child's pose.
Sure.
And then I, you know, chaturanga.
Well, maybe you'll teach him then when he's feeling really overwhelmed.
Could you imagine him being at school?
Just dropping into child's pose.
All of a sudden, amazing. He's cat-cowing around the schoolyard. That's what I do.
That's my favorite one.
I do child's pose. I do go up into tabletop.
Pregnancy,
and then I do
cat-cow was the shit
so
for my
good.
Spine. Oh, my God.
Do a little cobra.
Yeah.
Little up dog.
Yeah.
Little
what's up dog.
I say hello to the sun and bring it back to the chest.
Yes, always.
Do a little shavasana.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. She's my girl.
I do whatever I like. Honestly, that's my flow that I do just whenever I'm losing my shit so I don't scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm wondering, like, is he going to be older and thinking, hey, is this fucking weird that I'm onto that?
I see all those TikToks now of people that were like, share something that you thought was normal and now you know it's not. And I'm like, how many things are my son going to like realize that what we did was not normal?
Yes.
And yep, that's it. All right. So this is finally, it's possible to feel shame vicariously, to share the shame of another person or to feel shame on their behalf, particularly if they are closely allied or associated to you. Thus, even virtuous people who, with no personal cause for it, can experience shame. And so much is also true of embarrassment and other emotions. So you can feel secondhand. All right. So let's see. People with low self-esteem are more prone to shame, obviously, because having a poor self-image, they're harsher upon themselves. In some cases, they may defend against shame with blame or contempt, often for the person who incited their shame.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, this is likely to lead to even deeper shame and even lower their self-esteem. While overwhelming shame can be destructive, mild or moderate shame is mostly a force for good because it spurs us to lead more ethical lives.
Hmm.
So that's good. This is guilt. Guilt pertains to an action or actions and to blame or remorse. Shame says, I am bad. Guilt says, I did something bad. So that's the difference.
See, I feel like mine are overlapping.
They are. They kind of work together, I think. But more subtly, shame involves falling short of cultural or societal moral standards, and guilt involves falling short of one's own moral standards.
Okay.
So that's, again, I mean, the parenting thing might overlap, but you probably hold yourself to a higher standard. I know you do.
Yeah.
Than what society does for parents. Because society's like, don't kill them. Good job. Yeah. And it's like, that's it. Whereas it's like, maybe I want to not have them, like, the least amount of things
trauma.
They're going to tell their therapist when they get older, you know?
I don't know if this is because I babysat for so long, but I still feel like today I started making dinner, I don't know, like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane got home probably close to 6. And he came home and he grabbed a beer. And I was like, we can drink?
Yeah.
And so then I opened a bottle of wine and I was like, I think I'll have a glass of wine while we make dinner. I didn't know I was allowed to do that. And like, of course, I'm not like popping.
Getting drunk.
Yeah. But I have this weird thing. Like, I am going to get in trouble.
Yes.
But like, by who?
Because I'm the mom. Are awake. Yeah, exactly. It's your rules.
I know. But that's like the weird thing is like, if I'm on my phone too much, if I'm in a different room than them for too long, if I'm not like, I don't know. I just have this weird list of things in my head.
Same.
That like, that I'm going to get in trouble.
Noah will be up in his room, like just hanging out. He entertains himself, like whatever. It's his little zone. And then for like 4 hours, I'll be just downstairs doing either something that I want to do or housework or whatever. Yeah. And I'll be like, oh my God, I'm not hanging out with him right now. And then I look back and I'm like, did my mom ever hang out with
me? I know.
You know what I mean? But he's an only child, so I feel like I have to. But at the same time, it's like, says who?
Right.
He is fine up there. If he misses me, he'll come downstairs. I don't want him to have like total separation anxiety for me whenever he has to go to school or whatever. Because that's what started to happen when we did remote learning and we were together 24/7. Then when he went back to school, he was having like physical anxiety symptoms.
Right.
Which I think was what happened today. But
things
like that, because he was literally together with me, we were playing games together and doing all this stuff, and I was feeling like, this is awesome, but at the same time, I think I messed him up.
Well,
because now he doesn't want to be not near me.
I told Shane, like, my whole thing was, I want Ollie to be independent, and I want to do it from the jump.
Yes.
So, like, if he needs to have some, like, independent time where, like, even as a newborn, like, I'm trying to do it with Forrest, where I give him some time to just, like, I don't know, lay on the ground and look at the Christmas lights.
Chill
and then
out,
just like figure out, because literally point at something. He's never seen it before.
Yeah.
Everything's fucking new.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to give him some time independently so that he can develop this ability to entertain himself.
Sure.
And I wanted to do that with Ollie, and I thought I did a good job of it with Ollie, but now I don't think I did because I think back to the beginning of his life, and he was next to me 24/7.
Right.
He was not in a different room than me. And then we moved when he was 3 months old. And so we lived with my parents for a month while we were closing on our house.
Yep.
And then we were remodeling. And so we lived in the basement,
all in one room together.
Right.
Yep.
And so, like, there was never, well, even if we have like two rooms down here, but even like, it was the basement and it was unfinished. And so, like, I didn't feel safe leaving him to be anywhere.
Right.
So I had to be next to him. And then if we were upstairs, the house is under reconstruction.
So you definitely have to be.
It was just like, I wanted him to be independent and now he's not. And now I feel like I screwed up and I feel guilty that I didn't do things the right way.
But if he was too independent, you would also feel the same way because you'd be like, did he feel neglected? Like, did he feel like I wasn't watching him enough or around him enough?
I still feel like I didn't read to him enough, or I didn't do enough shapes with him. I didn't do enough colors with him. And every time I go to the doctor, I feel like they're testing me.
Yeah. Oh my
God.
And
I'm like, oh, sweet Lord, am I going to pass?
Yeah. Seriously.
Are you going to let me keep him?
Please.
Like, I feel like he's going to have to say the alphabet, and if he messes up a letter, then they're like, well, sorry, you're going to have to leave him here.
Well, he's ours now.
Right.
We'll raise him. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you have to remember some of the people that do have kids and get to keep them.
I know. That's what I have to think about.
I do, too, because that's the one thing that I've never felt more guilt in my life than I do from being a parent. That sounds terrible, but seriously, it feels like no matter what decision you make, it's the wrong decision, because you truly don't know until they get older what the outcome's going to be.
Well,
you have no idea.
And it's harder now because we have access to everyone else's parenting online.
Yes, and everyone else who is an adult who is like, this is what my parents did to fuck me up. And then you're like, okay, well, I won't do that. But then you have one person that's like, my mom never showed me any attention. And then you have the other person that's like, my mom
smothered
was around
me
all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, which one is it?
What do you need me to do?
I don't know. Like, it's so hard for me. It's so hard.
And then, like, seeing, I play this comparison game where I look at other children who are similar ages to Ollie, and I'm like,
don't do that.
I know, but I'm
it's
like, oh my
get
gosh,
worse when they're in school, because there's always kids that are like advanced, and Noah's like more advanced, but not like super advanced.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is he not a genius? Did I fuck up somewhere?
I know, that's the thing is, but then I don't want to project those fears and those anxieties
into them.
Yes,
oh my
because
God, parenting's the worst.
I know.
Mean, it's the best, but it's so hard.
But I know that the inner voice that you have, a lot of it comes from
your parents.
Yes, it
or
does.
Your partner. It seriously does. That's what my therapist used to tell me. She was like, that inner voice you're hearing in your head is blank person who I used to talk about in therapy all the time.
Right.
And I was like, you're exactly right. Holy shit. It's not in their voice, but it is coming out as their words.
Right.
I never speak to other people the way I speak to myself in my head.
Right.
Ever. But
right.
I've heard that person speak to other people the way that I'm speaking in my
right.
head.
And like Shane sometimes will be like, oh, you have a stinky butt or something.
Oh, I know.
Like
and
that.
You're like, don't tell him that.
I do. Or he's like, your hair. Or I today was like, oh my gosh, your hair is crazy. And as something as innocent as that, I'm afraid he's going to like attach himself to, and then he's going to grow up and now see his hair as crazy.
Yes.
No matter what, he's not. Well, first of all, I cut it, boy. Of course it's crazy. Okay.
Right.
We've been in quarantine.
It's really hard.
You've had four haircuts and I've given them all to you and they're all bad. But I don't want him to hear anything that we've said about him physically.
And been like, that's me.
Yeah, just like off the cuff because we didn't think anything about it. And then him, that be something that becomes an insecurity. It's like a seed that we planted that we didn't mean to
turn
into something.
I was called snaggletooth like my whole childhood.
Yeah.
And I literally don't like to smile with my teeth anymore. And I make jokes about my teeth because I hate them so much.
My gums and
time.
My nose
yep.
are two of my, and my eyes. Like, it's, this sounds so horrible.
But look at
people,
the way people talk about your son.
That's what I was
going to
say. People talk about how, they talk about how Forrest looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, he has your eyes. And I'm like, I don't want him to have my eyes.
Yeah.
Because people talked about how tiny my eyes are. People talked about how squinty I am.
Yeah.
And they said when I smiled, my eyes disappeared. I don't want him to have those eyes. I don't want people to think that of him. I don't want him to think. So like, but I look at him and I think he's cute.
He's the cutest freaking. Yeah.
But I can't think of myself as cute because I'm tainted. And
so
now I'm like in this weird position of like wanting him to be proud of the features he has. But how do I teach him to be proud of them when I don't like them on myself?
Exactly. And I don't know if we'll have time for the second article. We might have to make that a separate one that we do. But that was kind of something. The way that we treat guilt and shame and like outwardly, we have to watch doing in front of our child because that will eventually be the way that they treat shame and guilt.
Shit.
I know, man. It's freaking hard. And when I think about it, I love you, Mom. But that's like my mom used to be like, oh, I can't go out anywhere because I'm going to look crazy. And I don't want people to see me without makeup on. Like for a long time.
Yeah.
And she'll admit that, and my sister's the same way. And that's why all three of us, for the longest time. Now, Corey said to me the other day, he goes, I'm so proud of how comfortable you're getting going out looking homeless every time. I was like, I love you so much. I really am. It's at this point, I truly don't care.
Right.
And I have my tits tucked into my pants. Like, it is a life, and I'm living it.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, I could not go out unless I was picture perfect because I was afraid of what other people would think. And I don't want to, but I watched my mom do that, and I'm sure she watched someone that she loved do that, and vice versa. You know what I mean? It just was a long line of, so I try not to do that. My son's a boy, so I don't think he'll get it as much, obviously, but I try not to do that with him. And he truly couldn't care less because I tried to put gel in his hair for school today because he just got a really cute haircut. Mm-hmm. And I was like, here, let me do your hair. And he goes, Mom, no one does their hair unless it's picture day. It's not a big deal. No one's looking at my hair. And I was like, okay.
Love that.
Yes.
Keep that
amazing.
Attitude. Hold on
I was
to
like,
that.
You're absolutely right. They probably aren't. You're in school. You're there to learn. I will let you go with your... I didn't even brush it.
I used to have to tell...
I didn't care.
I used to tell myself all the time, like, as often as you're thinking about yourself, that's as often as people are thinking about themselves.
Yes.
So if you are not actively thinking about other people and in a negative way, mm-hmm. like I'll see someone and be like, dang, that's a cool outfit. I want that outfit.
That's what I freaking tell my mom because yeah. she's like, see, our people are going to think this and this. And I go, do you think that about other people? They're not thinking that about you. Right. I promise.
No. If they're thinking anything, if they think anything, it's positive yeah. unless they're a piece of shit.
And then
it's
why do you want to be around that right. person? You don't.
Or they're thinking about something they hate they, about themselves.
Absolutely.
And they're hoping that you don't notice. But yeah. you're not noticing because you're thinking about yourself.
Yes.
So that was always what I remembered. And I think that's why I got so comfortable not giving a shit about
it's really nice when you don't.
Physically.
Because that's how I feel right now. Like, I'm like, if you are looking at me and judging me, then something's wrong inside with you. And that's yeah. a problem because I feel fine
yeah.
going out in public like this. It right. does not matter. I know that I'm clean. So other than that, I do not care what I look like.
Right.
I'm wearing my boyfriend's shirt again, like yeah. same pants 5 days in a row. It doesn't matter. Nobody should be looking. We're here to learn. We're in school, but for life. The one thing it did say also, oh shoot, what was I going to say? There was something that you reminded me of that I read in the other article. Oh, it said something helping your children. One of the things you could say to them, like, let's say that they fell off the rope. This was the example they gave. And I'm like, what is this, 95? Who says ropes in gym class? That's so dangerous.
Honestly, I was so mad that we never had a rope. I was so pumped to climb a rope.
Right?
I don't know why.
And we never did. So I'm yeah. like, that's not even a thing that they do anymore, I'm pretty sure. Right. But that was like a thing that they used as an example of falling down off it. And your child coming home and being super embarrassed that people are going to think about that. Because in their mind, they're going to think about that for yeah. months. So they're like, that's going to be on everybody's mind. What they told you to do is to tell them, when was the last time somebody fell off the rope? Do you remember? Are you still thinking about that on a daily basis? You're not. So right. you need to remember that that's how other people are viewing it.
Right.
They've moved on. Probably the next day they've moved on. It was right. funny in that moment or they laughed or whatever. You felt embarrassed. And then
I feel good
and then
because
it's over.
That's how I cope.
Yeah. And then it's over.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing that you can do is to just remind them that it's only going to last for a second.
Right.
But it's up to you whether you carry that with you.
Yeah.
Or if you let it go in that moment because they're going to.
Right.
You're not going to remember what happened. Like, I told you that thing. You were my best friend in elementary school, and yeah. you didn't remember the sex thing.
No, no,
I guarantee it, you probably heard about it.
I was
it.
Too busy trying to feed the dog through the fence.
Or taking your singing lessons. Oh. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, the dog.
Do you remember the dog?
Those dogs. There was two, right?
Yeah.
We got in trouble every time they were like, get away from the dogs. I'm like, but there's fucking dogs over here. You're going to tell us that we can't touch them?
If okay. they didn't want me to hang out with them, they wouldn't be at this fence every time we were out here.
Right. They know I'm going to sneak them snacks.
We did.
We
used to feed them the berries that were like growing on the weeds. And I'm like, I don't know if this is good for dogs, but they keep coming back. I don't think you were in the same house as me in eighth grade.
I don't think we ever were. It was very depressing. I'm pretty sure we were in opposites every year.
You're like one heron per house.
I know. I was like, fuck you.
So I remember we had to write this paper mm-hmm. and then we had to draw a picture mm-hmm. about an embarrassing moment.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was like because of a story we were reading and they're like, no, you tell us your embarrassing moment, which like, fuck you to the teacher who did that because like,
do we have to tell them out loud? Because that's horrible.
No, I think we had to write it.
That's still
it was
weird.
Like a writing prompt. Yeah, that was like, tell us your embarrassing story to relate to this story.
As and a then fucking I can, middle schooler, yep, my whole life is an embarrassing moment.
Then I can read this to all my teacher friends at lunch.
Oh my God.
But anyway, so because I know that's what they do.
Absolutely.
So oh anyway, God. I remember not having anything to write about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know anything
I'm
embarrassed of.
Yeah.
So I wrote that I showed up to practice late because I forgot my shorts. And because I showed up late for forgetting my shorts, the whole team had to run and they were mad at me. And she, the notes she wrote back on it was, why is this embarrassing? And I was like, well, now I'm embarrassed because you didn't think my embarrassing story was embarrassing. Now I feel stupid for telling you this story that was obviously not right. Just fucking fail me. I would rather take the F than explain to you why this is embarrassing.
You're like, can I rewrite this? Because now is an embarrassing moment, you fucking dick.
Yeah.
Oh, see, at that point, I would have had so many. So many. Because I was embarrassed by everything. We had very different middle school lives.
Well, you know what? What was I going to write? You know what? Here's the problem. It wasn't
a period story, because I'm not going to tell you about that.
I hadn't had it yet. Teacher.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We were both freshmen. What am I talking about?
Oh, no, I did in eighth grade, but it was like later in the year.
I was a freshman.
And it was during health class, and I got up, and the boy I had like a crush on, and like we were going to start dating. He was like, oh my god, what's on that chair? And I was like, ew, that's disgusting, I don't know. And I moved to a different chair, and he's like, oh my god, it's on all the chairs. And I'm like, ew, what? And then I got home and realized that I was just bleeding on all the chairs in health class. But like shit like that, or
which again, you're not gonna fucking write about because you're traumatized.
Exactly. Is that what you want me to write about, Mrs. Bombeck? I don't think so.
We did not have the same class because I did not have her. Oh. But seriously, that is so traumatizing.
Yeah.
Moments like that, I'm like, wait.
Or how about when the English teacher, or no, she was the English teacher, the reading teacher. Why aren't you the same thing?
Yeah, but anyway, do we have two different ones?
So the reading teacher found out that I could sing. Turned the lights off, made everyone stare at a Christmas tree.
Wait, maybe we were in the same house because I think I was in your reading class.
And she goes, Jerry's going to sing Silent Night. I had to sing Silent Night in front of the whole class. Can you? Oh my God. For sure. There was several people in that class being like, why the fuck is this happening?
Literally.
I was mortified.
I don't blame you. That's horrible.
I was also mortified in that class when we had to, they did like profile silhouettes.
Yeah.
And then we had to like write a poem in them. And all I kept thinking of was the guy again who called out my period in health class had to draw my silhouette.
Oh, no.
And I told you I'm ashamed of my nose. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is mortifying. And then they taped up all of the silhouettes around the room. And I'm like, well, I can find mine immediately because it's the one with a fucking beak. No. Because in eighth grade, you know, that bitch grew 10 times before the rest of my head did.
Yeah. Remember how one of my boobs grew and they called me Uniboob for like the longest time?
I wore three bras.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. You have to.
Underneath my Air Apostle shirt that said something stupid on it.
I'll be honest with you. I wore two bras like 3 years ago forever because I was like, I need one of those for like to cover my nips and then the other one to push that up.
Can't know that we have nipples.
Yeah, no, I don't want anybody to know. So I need padding and then a push.
Yes. Yes.
And I would go to like, this wasn't 3 years ago because I was with my boyfriend. So this was probably like 10.
What do you do then? Because I remember...
Go to a guy's house and I had to like hide one of my bras underneath his sink. Because I didn't want him to go try to take my bra off and realize there was two bras.
Why, you tricky bitch?
I really was. And then before I left, I was like, hang on, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I stuck my bra into my pants before we left.
Damn, what is it, your obsession with sticking your boobs in your pants?
That's really funny. I don't know. But I did, because I had a winter jacket on, so then I could just, it was bulky, so you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you can take me home now.
So, like.
I know.
I remember, again, it's the same guy who called out my period and drew my schnoz silhouette.
He's a real dick. Is he who I think he is? Yep.
Yeah. I remember when I wore three bras underneath my Air Apostle t-shirt. Commented about my boobs. And then I'm like, well, now I have to wear three bras forever because he has acknowledged the size of them. And if they change,
he's noticed.
He's gonna know. Will know.
Because that's the thing. When you wear that many bras or you do something to accentuate, you're doing it so that they do pay attention. But once they do pay attention, then you know you have to keep doing it because they're gonna be looking forward to that.
Right. And then if they go away, they're gonna be like, Wait, what happened? That's not usually the direction it goes.
Oh, no.
You know what I could have written about is the time that we were walking to the bowling alley. I think I told this story. Maybe I just told you in private. I don't remember. Ooh. I was walking to the bowling alley for like some
movie
prize day that we got.
I said movie, but you obviously said bowling alley.
Yeah, we were going to bowl. The movies weren't at the bowling alley.
It's my one alcohol.
So I walked up to this boy and I was like, hey, would you like to be my boyfriend? And he laughed in my face and went, no. And I was like, cool.
Oh, no.
That's what I should have written about, but I didn't, because am I going to admit that to you?
That's so embarrassing.
Mrs. Baalbeck, no.
I would fucking tell a teacher that. I would never. I would never.
I don't want anyone to know that I asked him that.
I don't even like remembering that. That's the thing, too. All of my shame and guilt and embarrassment, like I said with my college thing, is I just went boop, 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 and I hit it into a back corner, and then we never spoke about it.
Right.
In my head and me, we just never acknowledged that they happened.
Right. That wasn't me.
I wanted to tell how many hundreds of people listen to this fucking podcast.
We're almost at 10,000 downloads.
Holy hell.
I know.
Hey, thanks guys. Like, rate, review, prescribe. Oh no.
That's subscribe. A new one.
Okay. So this says, it's entirely possible to feel guilty about actions of which many or most of our peers approve, but that fall short of your own moral standards, such as living in luxury, driving an SUV, or even eating meat for some people. Shame and guilt often go hand in hand, which is why they are often confused for each other.
I sometimes feel guilt for eating meat.
Yes.
Because I am like...
I love animals so fucking much, but goddamn, they taste so good.
I know. Why you gotta taste so good?
So good. I just had steak tonight, but if I saw a cow tomorrow, I'd be like, I'll never fucking eat you. I love you. But then if you presented me with a steak, I'm not gonna ask if it came from that cow.
No.
I'm just gonna pretend like that certainly cow not. Never existed.
Did you see that Fairlife video?
Oh.
It was this horrific, horrific video.
I did not. I can't watch those.
Of this... company Fairlife, mm-hmm. who was completely mistreating their animals. Mm-hmm. Do you hear what I just said? They're mistreating them, like fucking murdering them isn't mistreatment. But anyway,
but it was really bad.
They were like really mean before they killed them. They like didn't do.
They were like in their face, and they're like, "You have a big fucking ass."
They were like babies though, and they were like tossing them, and the moms were crying for
Corey,
them.
Corey goes, do you think baby back ribs are like from actual babies? And I was like, well, they look very small if you see the ribs. And so Corey's like, I'm never fucking eating those again.
I'm just eating regular ribs.
Yeah, I'll eat an adult cow. They had a life. I can't eat a baby cow ever.
Anyway, I watched that video and I was sobbing. And I look at Shane and I go, I can't eat meat ever again. I'm not doing it. I swear to God. No. And then I ordered a hamburger like 20 minutes later.
It's because that's cognitive dissonance right there.
While I feel guilty about
which
it.
Which we will talk about soon. You can feel guilty, but it's also you have to, in the back of your mind, you got to put it out. Of your mind, so you can do it. Same as like people who smoke cigarettes and know that they're gonna die, but they're like, oh, I'm just gonna put I mean, we all know we're gonna die. Like, know that it could kill
them. They're speeding
quicker.
Up the process.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm gonna smoke this, but I'm just not gonna think about that. Unless you're really crazy and then you're like, I don't give a shit. Okay. For instance, when we injure someone, we often feel bad about having done so. That's guilt. And at the same time, we feel bad about ourselves for doing it, not shame. So guilt and shame are distinct emotions. Shame is ego dystonic, which means it's in conflict with our self-image and the needs and goals of our ego, and high levels of shame are correlated with poor psychological functioning. So that's where eating disorders and sexual disorders can be understood as disorders of shame, such as narcissism in the other way, which it's a defense against shame. And then guilt, on the other hand, is ego-syntonic, which is consistent with our self-image and the needs and goals of our ego, and, unless left to fester, is either unrelated or inversely correlated with poor psychological functioning. So faced with the same set of circumstances, people with high self-esteem are more prone to guilt than shame and more likely to take corrective or redemptive action.
I feel like that's me.
Yeah, for sure. That's what it sounds like. Because you probably have higher self-esteem than I do. Because with me, it's not I did wrong, I'm guilty. It's I am stupid or I am dumb or I am bad. And that's shame. I feel that more than guilt, I feel.
You know what's weird is like having high self-esteem does not mean I think highly of myself.
Right.
Like whenever I think that's what's so hard for me to explain to people is like, just because I would consider myself someone who has high self-esteem does not mean that I think that I'm
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I view my physical appearance. Technically, that's how it's spelled. So fuck you guys. Okay.
Right.
I don't look at my physical appearance as like elevated or right. like something to aspire to have. I don't think that I have a great body. I don't think that I have like, I don't think I'm the most intelligent. I don't think I'm the most like, I can't think of anything where I'm like, no, I'm fucking great at that.
Yeah.
But I don't look at any of those things as...
I'm fucking terrible at that.
Yeah.
Or like, well, I'm the fucking piece of shit.
I don't view any part of me as negative, yeah. but I don't view it as like the best. So I don't have I'm not arrogant.
Yeah.
But I can recognize that like I don't need to achieve a certain level of societal perfection for me to be good yeah. enough to myself.
That's good. Teach me. That's not me.
I don't know how.
I don't know how you do it either, but figure it out and then teach me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. No pressure.
Yeah.
So do you want to read the other article? Or
We can come back for her another time.
That's what I was thinking. Split it up.
Yeah.
Split her up.
Especially because...
low battery here. Do you need
yeah.
me to do it?
Yeah, will you plug that in on the other side?
1 second.
Sure. Get your clip in your hair first.
This is so important.
Oh my gosh.
Are we good?
I felt like there was a timer going down and I'm like
okay. We're fine.
Yeah.
Anywho, okay. So there you go, guys. We promised you something and we're not delivering. I'm gonna feel guilty about it for the rest of the night.
So if you guys like this and you wanna know
things to do so that your kids aren't fucked up.
Yeah, let us know. We'll do a part two.
Yeah, maybe
not
we'll
on Friday.
No.
Because
you guys are greedy.
We have to go, we gotta go out and shop till we drop. Yo. Just kidding. Don't go shopping.
Yeah, please do online. Come on. There's so many Black yeah. Friday deals online already.
And shop small if you can.
So much money. Yeah. Not Amazon Prime, which I was gonna plug because yeah. fuck you, Jeff Bezos, you fucking dick.
You absolute delight.
I bought so much from Amazon this year.
I know.
And I'm like, Jeff Bezos is a fucking dick, but I'm gonna keep using Prime.
Yeah.
When I need to order something, I need it in 2 days.
You evil fucking genius.
He's a fucking evil genius.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Okay, we are going to order from Amazon, but we're going to feel guilty about it, okay?
Yes.
So we'll feel like shit, but at least we'll have our stuff in 2 days. Okay.
Okay.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.